Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2nd, it's where we're going to be today. Well, sweet Kristen and I, we made a college visit with Noah, and as part of the process, of the program for the day, they brought in some students and they put them up in front and as a sort of like a panel, and they asked some questions just so that they could express a little bit as to what the experience is like there at college for these prospective students. And throughout the question, the one question stuck out to me especially, where it was like, so what is a highlight? What is something over these past few months? For some of them, they had just been there a semester and a little bit, and for others, there was probably they were still early in their time at the school, and already one of the things that stuck out to me about their answer is their highlights, and the thing that they appreciated most about it was that it all had to do with the relationships that they had made and the friendships that they had made during their time there. The one talked about, you know, the opportunity to build connections with some of the professors and the teachers during their time there. Others were like more one-on-one with their peers and their friendships, the smaller groups that they've been able to participate, and just the whole community experiences. And as I listened to that, I was reminded by their comments of my early college days back whenever actually I'd been at this school. And thinking back to even just a few weeks into that first semester as a freshman there, and the RA came around to the floor and just asked a few of us, said, hey, would you be interested in being a part of a small group? I think he called it an accountability group kind of thing, where we'd get together and we'd talk about, you know, what was going on in life, pray for each other, do just really check in on what God was teaching us. And so I said, okay, yeah, sure, I'll join in that. And so weekly on Tuesday nights, we'd meet over in this guy's room, and we'd go around and we'd just check in and share with each other what was going on. And through those years and through those times of weekly meeting together, we got to go through some more things that were challenging, things that were hard, and be an encouragement and pray with each other, whether they were hard things at school, hard things personally or relationally, and what a gift it was to have those guys step into my life with me. And this morning, I want to encourage you in regards to being intentional in your relationships, intentional in your friendships and the value of them, because so often these things, they don't just happen, but they take intentionality and care. And so as we come to this passage today that's before us, Paul's encouraging Timothy to keep on going and to endure until the day in which he's going to see his Savior face to face. And he wants to encourage him to keep on going because he wants others to also get to see and know Jesus also. And so we're going to be here at the end of Paul's letter to Timothy here in chapter 4. But the reason for all this encouragement that Paul is bringing comes in chapter 3 and can be summed up there. And so if you turn back just a little bit to the beginning of chapter 3 and verse 1, here's what Paul writes to him. He says this, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." There wasn't a question about this, whether or not hard times were going to come. There were going to be difficult times, and these days are still going. And then he describes what they're going to be like, and he continues, and he describes it in this way. He says in verse 2, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." And he really breaks it down into there's these two types of folks who are going to be out there. There are going to be those who are lovers of self and pleasure, and there are going to be those who are lovers of God. And in verse 5, he says this, continuing to describe it, "having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power." He's saying that there are even going to be those who are out there to seem to like they look good on the outside, but it's all just a show. And he says, I want you to avoid these people. Be careful and stay away from these type of people. In verse 6, "For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of truth." This is the world that Timothy was living in, and it's the world in which we live in. And Paul's letter is an encouragement to Timothy to be ready, to be aware, and to do what he must do to continue to run the race well for the finish line where he's going to see the lover of his soul. And so in the passages that follow here in the rest of chapter 3 and even heading into chapter 4 before the passage that we're going to look at today, he continues to encourage Timothy to follow his example, to remember everything that he's learned ever since he was a young guy, and to hold fast to the scriptures that he is to faithfully preach and proclaim. He says, I want you to do all of these things. And we come to the final verses of this letter from Paul. And here it's, after all that it has been said, at the bottom of all of this, there is something so important that he wants to share and that he brings up that I think is of relevance and helpful for us today, even as we await the return of our Savior. And truthfully, it's what the whole Bible is about, is we want to focus on this morning. And it's about people, it's about relationships, it's about friendships, and what a gift they are. So if you have your Bibles open, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 9 through 18. And let's stand for the reading of God's word. Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, Luke alone is with me, and get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, and the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And so beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me, and may it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles may hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we have come to this place, Lord, we have just been blessed by just the opportunity to sing and to worship you and to be reminded of your faithfulness and of your great, great love for us. And now as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to hear what it is that you have for us this morning. And God, that you would use it for your glory and for our good. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, as we come to this passage today, Paul is ending this letter to Timothy in a similar fashion to how he has begun it, in a personal way. And it gets real personal, and we get a sense of the value that relationships are to Paul. And I believe this is in here, and it hasn't been left out, because not only is it important to Paul as he's coming, as he's running the race, but Christian relationships and Christian friendships and community are of great importance to every single one of us while we wait for the day. They are a gift, and not everyone has the opportunity to have them, but we do. And so look back to how Paul starts this letter whenever he speaks to Timothy. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, right at the beginning of this little letter, verses 3 and 4, he says this, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. There is this longing, there is this desire that Paul has as he's sitting in prison and he's readying himself for the end of his life. And he's taking the lead and he's telling Timothy, come, do your best to come to me. I want to see you. I long to be in your presence. And there's two things on the Apostle Paul's mind here at the end of his life. And it's not about success. It's not about possessions. It's not about money. It's not about success in the world's eyes. But it's the Lord that matters to him, and it's people. And it's his relationships that matter most at this point in his life. This isn't anything new. As we know of Paul, as we read through his letters throughout the New Testament, It's what matters. It's the only thing that matters, really. To the Romans, he writes this in Romans 1:11, I long to see you. I have longed for many years to come to you, he says in Romans 15. And to the Philippians, he says this in Philippians 4:1, I love and long for my joy and my crown. He's talking about his affection for these people. To the Thessalonians, he says this, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. The only reason that we have this letter before us is because of a relationship that Paul had with Timothy for the gospel. And it's because of that relationship that Paul's writing, and this friendship, it goes both ways. And they are a key part of the Christian life through which we find encouragement to keep on going, and through which we're spurred on towards holiness and love and good deeds. It's a special gift from the Lord that can't be taken lightly. C.S. Lewis, he has said this, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. Spiritual or Christian friendship is, I believe, the deepest type of friendship. Fawn Roberts, in his book entitled True Friendship, writes this, Christians have the ultimate common passion and shared goal, which encompasses the whole of life. We have been called as brothers and sisters to belong to Christ's family. And as we travel along the way of the cross throughout our lives, with our eyes fixed on the destination of the new creation to come, which Christ will introduce when he returns, it is a long journey with many challenges along the road. And we will often fall and need someone to pick us up, waver, and need another to spur us on. And so let us resolve, therefore, to obey the Bible's instruction. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The gift of relationships as defined by the gospel and for the gospel, it's what the church family is all about. As we gather together here, as we look forward to the day of his return, when we are called home or when we are called home, and in the closing verses of this paragraph, Paul, he comments on the blessings and the challenges of men who he has had relationship with through the years. There's two categories here. One is that there are those who are faithful. There are those who have been an encouragement to him through the years in ministry. Timothy, clearly, as he's writing this letter to him, is a dear son and brother in the faith that he has such a love for. And this friendship that they have for one another has clearly been one that has been developed and grown as they have spent time together through the years, journeying together. But there are also others who have been an encouragement who he lists here, but who are no longer able to be with him. Crescens is one who has gone off to serve on mission. He has gone on to Galatia, and Paul names Crescens, but other than that, we don't really know about him. Titus, he names. Titus was a dear friend to Paul, and as we look on the next page in your Bible, you'll find that he mentions him. He actually writes this letter to him, and in verse 4, he says, to Titus, my true child in the common faith. And in the next verse, he says, here, I'm entrusting the leadership over some churches to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we hear about Titus and how God used him and how he made himself useful towards the end of bringing comfort to Paul. He mentions a guy named Tychicus who he has sent to Ephesus. We don't know much about him, but he's the guy who delivered the letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. And these guys were all an encouragement to him. He mentions in verse 11 here about Luke. And what a faithful example of a man that has been with Paul through so much. In Colossians 4:14, Paul writes of him that he is the beloved physician who has been with him through some of the most difficult times. In verse 11, he talks about a guy named Mark. He and Mark, we don't have time to get into this story, but they didn't get along all the time. There was some disagreement in their past. But Paul, he says, bring him with me. Bring him with you. And that they can still be good friends. Bring him along. He brings up, there's all these different ways that people can be an encouragement. In verse 13, there's a guy named Carpus who helped out with some of his belongings. And there are some of these faithful guys that he has been surrounded with and had the opportunity to have friendship and relationship with. But then there's also those who were a joy at first and those who on this list who aren't following the Lord anymore, who can still be an encouragement. In verse 10, he talks about a guy named Demas who is a part, who is involved with him in ministry and who did some amazing things. But here what we're told is that he's no longer with him, that he's deserted him. Has to do with leaving at the most inappropriate of times, and that's what this guy has done. And there are those who are discouragements that you just need to be aware of. He brings up the guy named Alexander, one final person that he wouldn't put in being the camp of being a friend. But it's the person that you need to be very careful with and aware of and careful of, this guy named Alexander, who is an opponent of the gospel. And so there are those people about relationships, friendships, the people that can be such a gift, and there are people that you need to be careful of to not bring in too close. And as Paul is closing out this letter, he does so on a personal level, making it clear that Christian friendships and partnerships are a gift from the Lord for encouragement in the Christian walk. They are a gift. And so what are some applications for us this morning as we await our Savior's return? First thing I want to encourage us this morning in as a church family is to take the lead. Take the lead in developing and being intentional in your friendships and relationships. Do you see how Paul is taking the lead in calling Mark to come to him? His love for Timothy and Mark, and I believe his desire is to continue to encourage them in their faith and ministry, that is what's motivating them. That's the thing that is just driving him here in his affections for them. It's not so much he just wants to have someone to come and hang out with him, but he wants to have time with them so he can encourage them in their journey of following after the Lord and serving him in ministry. And so I want to encourage you to take the lead and be like Paul here. By taking the lead in your relationships with brothers and sisters and being purposeful in encouraging each other towards Christ-likeness. This goes both ways. How are you building others up? And how are you being built up by others? There's all kinds of things that can pop up in our lives, right? We're just so busy, we don't have time. But at the end of the day, what is it that is most important? But it's people. And how are we building up, and how are we allowing ourselves to be built up by others? I've shared this quote before from Gordon MacDonald regarding the true goal of Christian friendship, and I just appreciate it so much. He says this: "There is a certain niceness to a friendship where I can be, as they say, myself. But what I really need are relationships in which I will be encouraged to become better than myself. Myself needs to grow a little each day, and I don't want to be the myself I was yesterday. I want to be the myself that is developing each day to be more of a Christ-like person." So take the lead. Take the lead and be an encouragement to others. Brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what Christian friendship is about. It's coming alongside and encouraging and building each other up to follow and to keep on trusting the Lord and becoming more like him. So I ask you, who are you in relationship with that you are being encouraged to grow more and more like Christ? Who is there that you have in your life that's doing that? Who is there that you're doing that for? Secondly, our spiritual friendships are precious. As we see here in this letter between Paul and the others that he has mentioned, we need each other. And while we're on this journey of life, following after Christ, it's not easy and it's hard. It's really hard at times. And we need each other. In Nelson Mandela's autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, he describes life on Robben Island, where he and other political prisoners spent almost 30 years. And he reminisces about the relationships that got really tight during that time of intense suffering. And he says this: "The authorities' greatest mistake was to keep us together, for together our determination was reinforced. We supported each other and gained strength from each other, and whatever we knew, whatever we learned, we shared, and by sharing, we multiplied whatever courage we had individually. That is not to say that we were all alike in our responses to the hardship we suffered. Men have different capacities and react differently to stress, but the stronger ones raised up the weaker ones, and both became stronger in the process." And as much as ever, the battle is raging for our souls. And we can't lose sight of that the enemy is going to do whatever he can. And we need the encouragement that comes from brothers and sisters who are striving to be useful to the master of the house. Because it's possible. Demas, he went from being a fellow worker to being a lover of this present world. We need each other. When we are weak, who are those who are lifting you up? Just want to encourage you, don't wait till you're weak to develop these things, but develop them before you get to this place. Start now. I agree with MacDonald when he writes this. I have become convinced, for example, that in the company of a happy few, we are much more likely to hear God speak the truth we need to hear. So you're God's gift to one another. In difficult days, you are God's gift to one another. So lean on each other and be willing to hear each other. And lastly, third thing I just want to pull from this and encourage you with this morning is this. Lastly, be gracious with each other. We see here Mark and Paul, there was a point where they weren't seeing eye to eye. There was a point where they went different directions. But that doesn't mean that a friendship isn't worth being had. Be gracious with each other. James, he says this, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the word which is able to save your souls. And so may we be like Paul and put into action Paul's encouragement to pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. And so Paul knows that these gifts are a gift, and that there's times whenever faithfulness to go on and tell others about Christ means that there are changes that happen in relationships. And there's going to be times whenever those who were once close and near are called to go on mission. And things change. And he knew the discouragement of seeing fellow workers who had now deserted for the love of this world. And there are times when the encouragement that could be received through friends was no longer there. And it's here that Paul reminds us before we finish out. What does he remind us here of in these last few verses? Verse 16. Just want to read it again. It says this, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me. All deserted me. His friends weren't anywhere near. They couldn't be. And so may it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me, and he strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles may hear it. And so I was rescued. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Who was there in his moment of greatest need? It was his Savior. It was our Lord who knew fully what it was like to experience the isolation and the loss of all his friends while he hung on the cross, despised and rejected. And I think Paul, he just wants to bring it down here at the end of this letter to what is the most encouraging word, that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what happens, that there is one, and he's the only one that you can rely on fully, and his name is Jesus. He's saying, trust in him. And Paul's saying, he will not let you down, even whenever no one else is around, that he is there for you, and he is with you, and he will never let you down. You can rely on him. And he's saying to you this morning, in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, that there is not a friend like Jesus. So what we sang of just a little bit ago. So I want to encourage you this morning to be a friend. To be a friend who takes the lead in being an encouragement to others and builds up your brothers and sisters. I pray that you'll know that kind of a relationship, but if that relationship is not there, I want you to be encouraged and know that Jesus is there. He always will be, that he is more than enough and that he is sufficient. And maybe that's where you're at this morning, feeling all alone, and you can feel that. You can feel isolated for all kinds of different reasons. And whatever that is, be encouraged. And hear what Paul says, "The Lord stood by me, and he strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." What more could we ask for? What more could we ask for than the King of the universe, Jesus? The King of the heavens, the one who has created everything, the one that we started out singing of today and reading from Psalm 19 and being reminded that all of the heavens and all the stars and everything is singing of his glory, that he is the one. The one who has brought us into his family is the one who is the dearest of friends. And that we can trust him, that he is with us, that he's the one who has made us friends, that we're no longer his enemies, that he made it all possible through the cross, through his death on the cross. There's just this amazing story of love for us that we find in Jesus, who left all the glory of heaven to become a servant, who was even willing to come and die on a cross. He couldn't have gone any lower than that and come down to meet us in our deepest and darkest places, and he did that so that we might become his friends. And if we know him, we have the most precious of things. We couldn't want anything more. In him, we have complete forgiveness, absolute security as a much-loved child of God, and the certain hope of being with him forever. And we will still experience many difficulties in this broken and hurting world, but we face them with the most faithful friend imaginable. The assurance and peace that come from knowing him enable us to reach out to others, not looking to take, but to give sacrificially as he has given for us. And so might we do that? Might we be like that? He's the perfect friend who enables us to be true friends ourselves. And so this morning, just want to ask you to bow your heads and ask the Lord to speak to you now and say, "Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Is there someone that I need to be more intentional with? Just to spur them on in their love for you and trust that, God, you are working, that you are there, that you're present. Maybe do you need to be just softened and awakened to the reality that, yeah, I need people. And maybe is there someone that you need to be gracious with, willing to forgive? Father in heaven, Lord, we talk about just the gift of relationships and the gift of friendships and what a gift they are for difficult days as we look forward to your return, as we desire to be faithful. To love you and to live for you and to walk in obedience to you, Lord. The most wonderful thing is, God, your love for us. And what a friend you are. For some of us, that's where we just need to rest and we need to settle in on that, Lord, we can trust you. Maybe we've looked a lot of other places to find fulfillment and contentment, but where we really need to find our rest in is knowing that there is nothing better than the friendship that we have with you. And that's all because of your great, great love. And even when we're in the darkest of places, when we cry out to you, you come in mercy. We don't deserve it. lift us up out of it all because of your love.